COC, how are you today? It's good to see you. It's been a while, huh? But you've been in good hands, man. There's been some good preaching going on. I've been listening to it. I actually thought about not coming back just for a little bit. Man, thank you for allowing me to take a little bit of a reprieve from preaching. It definitely refreshed my soul. And I jumped in with both feet. It's crazy because actually the week before, I actually preached in a church in Colorado. I wasn't candidating, so don't worry about that. It was just I was out there preaching. And then I flew back. If you didn't know, my Uncle Larry passed away, our incredible, faithful greeter. And he is, man, don't be sad, man. He's happy, trust me. He's dancing in the streets right now. Yeah. So came back like that night to preach his funeral on Monday and then flew back to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I preached like 7 times at a youth camp out there. So, and then I came back and did this little thing called Kids Camp. Have you heard of that before? Yeah, so I've got my feet wet big time. You know, there's no doubt about it. But I'm excited about this new series that we're starting today. If you're a guest with us, thank you for being here. Some of you have probably maybe come in the last 5 weeks where I haven't been here. You're like, who's this guy? Nobody. I just, you know, I'm the pastor of the church. So that's who I am. So nobody. I know the least. But thank you for being here. So we're starting a series today called Who Needs God? Now, here's the deal. Here's why we're doing this in particular. Americans today seem to be migrating away from religion at an unprecedented rate, and Christianity, actually, in particular, they've been migrating away. And I would argue this, because really when you look at things, the only thing when you drift away or walk away from God is like there's no God at all, right? So, and religion, because that's an all-encompassing thing. There's numerous and multiple religions out there, and we're not just talking Christianity. So when you walk away from religion or Christianity, you're walking away from God, which means you're walking, you know, towards no God. So basically, I would argue that it's not because atheism is all that more appealing. I really don't think that. I actually believe that religion itself has kind of lost its appeal. And here's what I mean. Once upon a time, Americans believed, the majority of Americans believed that religion, Christianity, God, offered the solutions. And however, for some reason today, religion and even God in general seems to be viewed today more as the problem. It's just the way it is. So I just thought that we would take a few weeks and spend a little time talking about what apparently is becoming a very, very growing controversy today in our world, especially with our younger generation. Now, here's one of the things that confuses me the most about religion or even God. And this is just the way my brain works. It's probably not yours, so forgive me. But sometimes I wonder, why is it that we even have to question believing in God? Why does that even have to be a question? I mean, why can't we just know that there is a God? Why does there ever have to be any doubt? Now, let me explain that thought, okay? Why is it that I don't have to doubt or take my marriage by faith? I can just know that Ginger is my wife, right? I don't have to put faith or hope in that I have kids, especially every week when my 16-year-old, soon to be 17, comes and asks for another $25 to fill up his tank, right? His gas tank. So I don't have to question that. It's kind of like it's real to me. But this is what's confused me. Why do we even have to question? But it's out there. The question is there. So while you ponder on that thought, let me just propose something for you, okay? Here's kind of a cool fact that maybe you didn't know. While we're all sitting here right now at this moment, in case you didn't know this, all right, because I'm going to add some science into this stuff and how it all works, because this is how everybody's tending to go. Did you know that we're traveling? We're traveling. All of us right now are traveling 67,000 miles per hour around the sun at this very moment. At this very moment. And there's not even a breeze to show for it. Right? And not only are we traveling 67,000 miles per hour around the sun, this big rock that we call Earth is the only planet in our solar system that exists in what's known as the Goldilocks zone. And what would the Goldilocks zone be, Josh? Thanks for asking. We're the only planet in the solar system that's not too close to burn up, too close to the sun to burn up. Now, I know we live in Arizona. We may question that from time to time, right? Okay, but listen, we're the only planet in the entire solar system that's not too close, I mean, just varying degrees to where we could burn up. And we're the only planet in the entire solar system that is not too far away from the sun to actually all freeze to death, which is what the Goldilocks zone means, right? It's just right. It's just right. And listen, I'm a simple guy. But we're perfectly located for life to exist. And I don't know about you, but I just find that interesting. I find that very fascinating, especially when there's multiple other planets and different galaxies, and it's just crazy, one sun, right? And especially when we have a conversation or a conversation gets to whether or not there is a God or if we believe in a God. Again, call me simplistic of mind. So let's begin our conversation today of who needs God. Some of us would answer, yes, we need God. But listen, we don't always live like it, right? We don't always live like it. Some of us would say, no, we don't really need God. But for some reason, when things in our lives get just tricky, difficult, it just seems like we can't escape God in our lives. And as we said later, or as we said earlier, for many people, it's not really a matter of the question who needs God. It's more about religion in itself, because more and more people seem to be walking away from religion. So here's where we'll start today. I'm not sure if you remember this or not, but the majority of you probably do. I've been in ministry long enough to understand and know this happened. But right after the 9/11 terrorist attacks on American soil took place, there was, and I was on staff at a church in Springfield, Missouri. There was an initial surge in the church across this country. And it wasn't necessarily, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't necessarily a surge of attendance in the Christian church. It was just a surge in all churches, probably apart from Islam at that time. All right? And attendance, listen to this, attendance stayed at that peak for just about 2 weeks. And then here's what's interesting, and this is where I'm kind of enlightening you today, because some of you may not know this. There began another initial surge of faith-like thinking that happened across this country, and it was led by a neuroscientist by the name of Sam Harris, who wrote this book called The End of Faith. The End of Faith, Religion, Terror, and the Future of Reason. And this book was a scathing critique, not just on Islam, but on all religion, on all religion. Matter of fact, it was actually so controversial that over a dozen publishers turned him down to publish this book, because they did not want to necessarily, when our country was vulnerable and weak and drawn to religion in general, they did, especially Christianity, how could we do this? Maybe we'll back you if it's a book about Islam, but not Christianity. Nonetheless, here's what's crazy. He finally got it published, and oddly enough, it spent 33 weeks on the New York Times bestseller. 33 weeks. Now, Christians, of course, hated this book. They hated this book. So he wrote, in response to their visceral hate and expression of hate, another book of negative criticism called Letter to a Christian Nation. Letter to a Christian Nation. And in that book, he addressed specifically Christians. Jesus at this point in time in this message. And this is when he finger pointed at Christians. And he said, you're the problem. So the first book, religion's the problem. The second book, no. You're the problem. You're the problem. And then that same year, this is a name that you're familiar with. Richard Dawkins came out with his famous book, The God Delusion. Anybody remember The God Delusion? And in the opening section of his book, he was so kind of, you know, not, I don't want to say arrogant, but just like full of his own knowledge, that he actually told you in his book what his book was about. And it wasn't necessarily, which these guys are the leading forefront kind of, you know, forerunners of atheism today, and the new atheism, which we're going to talk about in a minute. It wasn't necessarily about atheism. He wrote this book, and he told you it's about religion. This is an excerpt from his book, okay? He said, if this book works as I intend, religious leader or readers who open it will be atheists by the time that they put it down. And over 3 million people purchased this book in over 35 different languages. And then, the year after that book was published, Christopher Hitchens published a book that was really scathing, and it was this: God is Not Great. How Religion Poisons Everything. And once again, this was an attack on all religion. On all religion. And yet again, listen, because I've done some research, and I'm going to explain why I understand so much on the other side of it too here in a minute, because some of you are like really worried. Like, where's the Bible in this thing, man? You know what I'm saying? Okay. I just think in order to be, you know, an average pastor, you ought to know a little bit about what everybody else is thinking, okay? And that helps you in that, okay? It doesn't mean that I can read this book and I transfer my faith or things of like that. I find it fascinating. This is just the way it works. But this book, once again, was not an attack, or was this kind of attack on religion, and it wasn't all about atheism. It was just an attack on religion. So all these forerunners, all these like premier atheists that we know today that gave us the new atheism, which we'll talk about in a minute, all of them kind of did not, I mean, in their books, there's things about atheism, but all in all, their books were this: religion is the problem. Religion is the problem. And then these guys became like rock stars. You could see them everywhere they were on, late night talk shows. And while there was, all while this was going on, and there was just kind of this rise, this phenomenon of what are they saying? I'm interested in this. Here's what's interesting. There wasn't necessarily a surge in attendance towards atheism or this belief in atheism that happened in our country that time. However, this is what happened. There was a significant surge and percentage of people in our country that began to, get this, kind of disconnect from religion and Christianity, kind of separate themselves. So many people disconnected and have disconnected today that there's actually a group of people that named this group. And we may even have some that are here today. And if you're here, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Maybe you just like saw on the card, atheist. I wonder what he's going to say about that. And I'm glad you're here. But this group of people that has disconnected, they're known as the nuns. You got to be careful how you spell it. You know what I'm saying? So any Catholics and Catholic Reform people, just don't get mad at me. This is the nuns, okay? The nuns. And the nuns are people who you would call non-affiliated. They're non-affiliated with any and all type of religion in general. Today, here's what's interesting. The nuns actually make up about 23% of the United States population. So one quarter of the United States population doesn't have anything to do with religion. about, now this is kind of where it gets more alarming, about 35% of millennials today identify themselves with the nuns. And the nuns would say something like this: we're not hostile toward religion. We just don't affiliate with any religion anymore. We're just done with religion. We're done with the church. We're done with the God that we were presented with as children. And it's not necessarily that we find atheism all that more appealing. It's just we're done with religion. So we're just done with religion. Now, I can't speak for all religions. I'm not that intelligent. However, I can speak towards the migration away from Christianity in particular. Meaning those who were once a part of the Christian church and have now identified themselves as the nuns. And here's what I can tell you today, so far in my research and just all of my years of experience in ministry. Part of the reason of their migration. It's the church's fault. It's our fault. I'm going to own that today. It's our fault if you have walked away from God or you're thinking about walking away from God. It's really our fault. Now, let me explain that before, you know, you don't get too mad at me today, okay? When you open up your Bible and you read in particular the four Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is something that you absolutely cannot miss from the beginning of Jesus' life to the end of Jesus' life. And I've said this before at COC, but I'll say it again because this is just something that is just like, if I'm going to draw a conclusion of one thing like about Jesus, this is one of those things, right? People that were nothing like Jesus liked Jesus. Crazy. Ridiculous. There was just something about Jesus, the person of Jesus, that just appeared so attractive. And this is what's even crazier, because this is why I kind of like associate it's the church's fault. Jesus liked them back. And that's so fascinating to me, because today the church, right, who's the body of what? Christ, who's supposed to be everything like Jesus, right? If this is the idea, this is the conclusion I draw. Christianity, if Christianity has lost its appeal to people, its attractiveness, Christianity is so easy to migrate away from, you got to get this idea. Here's what I believe is happening. Most people have, don't miss this, because this is the bigger, all-encompassing idea of our series. Most people have the wrong version of Christianity. And it's our fault. It's our fault, church. So for the next few weeks, here, I'm hoping to correct that just a little bit. I'm hoping that we can begin a discussion today that kind of draws you in a little bit. And here's where we've chosen to start. I want to kind of go on the outer edges of the conversation and give you, if you did not know, an update on atheism in particular today. Because I just want to give you a little bit more info that maybe you didn't know about atheism today. Basically meaning this, today's message, and I'm not that good at this, so bear with me over the next few weeks. The first few weeks are very informational and educational, and which require teaching. I'm not a teacher, I'm a preacher, so I'm going to like back off because my wife, I was telling her a little bit about this stuff. She says, you're going to get snarky, aren't you? I'm like, I'm not going to get snarky. I'll be very nice about this, all right? And I just want to present that to you because I think you need to get something. Today's message is informational and educational. Next week's message is informational and educational. And guess what? There might not be a lot of Bible. Just out of the gate, and I'll explain that a little bit more next week, but don't send us emails. If you do, send it to Matt. That's 1T, Matt, at churchofcelebration.com. They don't know if that's the right email address or not, so. Yeah, there we go. All right, so Here's your one verse of the day, so you get it. You've probably heard this verse. April, what are you doing? Not yet. Just hold on, hold on. You've probably heard this verse because it's probably the most famous verse when it comes to atheism and talking about atheism that is out there today. There's lots of others, but this is the most common one. Ready? Go. She's like, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. It says this. The fool, Psalm 14, 1 through 3. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. I just find it important to read it like this, okay? However, don't miss this next part, okay? There is no one who does good. The Lord actually looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there is any who understand and any who seek God. But all have turned away. All have become corrupt. And there is no one who does good. Not even one. Now listen, I gotta be honest with you. At first reading this passage, it sounds kind of harsh, especially if you kind of read it, you know, snarky, right? And it's no wonder, that anybody here that who is an atheist or you know somebody that is considering atheism, there's no wonder they would shut you down before you even began to have an intelligent and loving conversation with them. If you use that. I mean, that verse, in my opinion, as a pastor, that verse is powerful for both atheists and Christians. Because it points to the fact that really, in our heart of hearts, now you may be forgiven by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, praise God. That is true. But guess what? That does not mean that I have rid myself from the sinner label, all right? Because I am still a sinner. I've only been a sinner who's been saved by grace. So I just think you got to be careful how you talk to those people in your life who don't necessarily completely agree with what you have to say about things in regards to today, our topic, atheism. You can't just use a verse, you know, like a hand grenade. Ha, take that one. Whoa, boom, Jesus, chalk one up. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. You really, really need to know who you're talking to and why they're thinking the way they're thinking or living the way that they're living. I'll be honest with you. My favorite class in 4 years of Bible college that had the greatest impact on me in my life and my ministry today, shocking, was not a theology class. It wasn't even a Bible or Bible history class. The most impacting class that I had in Bible college to prepare for ministry was this, get this, speech and debate. I only did speech and debate because the professor said that if you sign up for a debate tournament, you don't have to take the midterm or the final. Sign me up. Me, right? I can go one of those things. But it was fascinating because when I went, I was just fascinated. And I was good. I was convincing. I even won a few tournaments. But here's what's so fascinating, why that has so impacted me. In order for me to actually speak intelligently and lovingly with someone who might completely disagree with me, I just think it would do me well to try my hardest to understand why they believe what they are so passionate about believing. You see, in speech and debate, you have to argue by selection, random selection. You have to argue affirmative or negative. I think the resolution that year was capital punishment, death penalty.
And here's this Baptist Bible College debaters, Josh Barrett and Kelly Padgett, you know, come on up. And we have to argue for and against this. Now, I can have some personal convictions about one side of things, right? But I have to maybe argue for or against that. I'm going to leave you wondering which one I'm for or against, okay? And I have to do that. Speech and debate, friends, taught me to critically think and prepare for both sides of an argument, a discussion or disagreement. And the greatest thing that it taught me, which I lack the most of today in most situations, but the greatest thing that it does as far as in helping even prepare messages is empathy. It's empathy. It's understanding. Somebody may be completely wrong in what I think, but they think they're completely wrong and I'm completely absurd. But it's understanding that they have a reason. And it's my job and my role to find out what that reason is before we can ever, ever maybe take some steps towards common ground. And I learned this vitally important lesson. If you're a note taker, here's your little catchy line for the day. I think we've said it before, but it's this. In my discussions with people that may not think or agree or believe the same things that I do, I don't want to sacrifice the potential of a relationship. So this is the way I approach it. I'd much rather make a difference than make a point. Because here's the deal. You think you're on your crusade to convince them otherwise, but it may not actually be you that does the transitioning of their thought process. It may be 20, 25 years later that somebody else comes along the road, but because you treated them with respect, love, care, and concern, that opened them up to listen to future conversations. And this is the way that I approach anything, even in kind of like messages. I'd rather make a difference in your life than make a point. All right, so one more reason before we really jump into atheism real quick that we're talking about this is not because, as I said earlier, not because so many people have checked or are already or moving towards already, you know, checking the atheist box today, but primarily because many, many people are. Statistics and just it's out there are stepping towards that box today. And we as Christians, we must know, especially at the rate that this is increasing, we must, we owe it to ourselves and our God. We must know how to see and understand both sides. So we can intelligently and lovingly approach any conversation that comes across our way. So if you or somebody else that you know is considering atheism today or walking away from God or doubting God, you got to know this. This is kind of a big premise for today. You cannot move away from something without moving towards something else. It's impossible. You cannot move away from something without moving towards something else. So with all that said, here's the first thing that you need to know about atheism today. Atheism, you know, the class on atheism today. Atheism, contrary to what many of us believe, atheism is not simply believing there is no God. That's not all it. Atheism is actually this. It's a complex belief system that logically leads to some unsettling conclusions. It's a complex belief system that logically leads to some unsettling conclusions. Now, the word unsettling right there, it's not a truth test, right? Something can be unsettling and true at the same time, right? For example, your teenage daughter's boyfriend. Yeah. Any dads of teenage daughters out there, right? It's true. She has a boyfriend, but it's very, very disturbing and unsettling. Can I get an amen? Right? And here's why that's so important, because it does cut both ways. Many people have actually stepped away from Christianity or God because of some unsettling outcomes, consequences, or truths from the Christian faith, even though they may be true. It's like, I don't know if I like that. It's unsettling, but it's true. So here's my agenda, because I do have an agenda today. All right, I'm not wanting to debate atheism today. I just want to speak to those of you that are out there, or those out there that you know of somebody who might be stepping away or considering stepping away. And I'm kind of hoping just to present just a little bit of doubt in your minds, maybe bad choice of words, but scare you just a little bit today, scare you just a little bit, and maybe make you think twice about it. Or better be prepared, because you're like, I'm solid in my faith, bro, homies, we're Jesus lovers, for, you know, if you're there, but you know somebody else that you want to speak intelligently and loving to, this is all I'm trying to do, is just give you a little bit of information. Because it is true, friends, you cannot step away from something without stepping toward something else. And I just think you really ought to know in detail, more in detail, what you might be stepping towards. Okay? Matter of fact, today's message is meant to be nothing more than a, huh, never heard it that way. Wow, really? That's what they believe? And you maybe just pump your brakes a little bit. Basically meaning if you or someone you know is choosing to give up on God, then here's the alternative that you're choosing if you really never thought long and hard about it. Here are the six tenets of atheism today. And this is called Atheism 2.0. And I say that because with these forefront atheists that came out, they presented some new things about atheism beyond just what you know about simply believing there is no God. That's not just a classic atheist. This is all of it. So if you're considering it, just think about these for a little bit, okay? Atheism 2.0, 21st century atheism. Here's the first one. The illusion of the mind. I'm going to do my best. Again, I'm not a teacher. I'm a preacher. I'm going to do my best to explain these in the short amount of time that we have left, okay? The illusion of the mind, which basically means this in a nutshell. If there is no God, then there is no you either. Now, let me break that down, okay? Because this is from an atheistic point of view. In a world that is basically biology, chemistry, and physics, then there is no room in that world for the mind. Which means you don't have a body, you are a body. That's it, nothing else. Now, to better understand this, I challenge you to go home today and try this for just a couple days. Try living that way, as if you just are a body for a couple days. Here's what I think that you'll conclude. I think you'll conclude it's really, really, really hard to do, to just live like a body, like I am a body. It's tough. Try treating your wife like she's just a body. Your husband, right? Your kids, your boss. Try treating the police officer that pulls you over as a body with no feelings. No thoughts, no cares, no concerns. Try treating them that way. I think you'll find that this is really, really difficult. So if you're leaning towards atheism today, believing that you don't need God, all there is just a world that consists of biology, chemistry, and physics, then I think you'll discover that if that is true, the illusion of the mind, if that is true, I think you'll find that very unsettling. Very unsettling. It actually is extremely difficult to live that way, because if there is no God, then there is no you. No feelings, no personal or intimate connecting, and that's just a really hard way to live and exist. But that's the first idea of atheism 2.0. Here's the second one: the illusion of free will. The illusion of free will, which basically means this. Everything in your life has already been determined. Everything has already been determined. Now, let me try to break that down for you once again from an atheist point of view, okay? In a world, once again, that is governed by physics, there is no room for free will, because everything has already been determined for you. For example, you may have experienced choosing who you married, but that was already determined. already determined for you. Another way they call it today is called determinism. Determinism. And basically that means that free will just does not jive in a world that is driven by the law of physics. No. It does not compute. It does not equate. Are you getting this? Because that means that everything so far in your life that you may have experienced in a decision-making process throughout your life, no, you thought wrong. It was just an illusion. You thought wrong because it was already determined for you, which begs the question, right? Just logically speaking, again, those guys that wrote those books, really, really smart guys. They are. I'm going to give them credit. They're really brilliant thinkers, and I'm just a simplistic mind. But if this is the case with the illusion of free will, then why in the world would we ever need to pull up to an intersection and check both ways if what's going to happen is already going to happen? Why are there need for doctors and dentists and lawyers, right? And hospitals and schools and so on if everything is already determined? You don't have a will. It's just an illusion. It's just called unfolding. And that's just one more thing that I think you need to consider if you're considering atheism today. Because remember, if you're stepping away from something, you're stepping towards something else. And this is what you're stepping towards. Right here. Matter of fact, just after these first two, I think that if you were to live as if you were just biology, right, and you continue making choices that are actually determined by the law of physics, I think this is what you'll find. Other biology will lock you up and throw away the key. Right? Because if you live that way, you're basically living as if however you want to live has already been determined, so live however you want. And I guarantee you that won't last very long for you. Leonard, right, probably won't last very long if someone wants to do whatever they want to do and just says, you're... Okay, just checking. It's a police officer, resident expert right there, okay? All right, here's the third one. The illusion of value. The illusion of value. It basically means this. There is no actual value in anything. If anything, there's only ascribed value. Right? Let me try to break that down for you just for a little bit from an atheistic point of view. In a world that is governed by physics, there is no room for value. For example, if I brought a box to the stage, opened it up, and told you that it was full of value and showed you, it would be empty. It would be empty because there's no value. But I said I ascribed it to having value, but there's nothing. However, here's what's confusing to me and unsettling if this is true. Don't we all live in a world that places value on pretty much everything that we do, right? Just about every conversation that we have with people or in the workplace, our money, our health, just to name a few. Don't those things have value? Yet it's not plausible. It's not plausible to think that way in a world that is governed by physics, even though it's something that we all tend to talk about all the time and of just about every single conversation that we have. We place value on things. Now, this one is a pretty big deal, the illusion of value, when it comes to justice. When it comes to justice. Because that would mean that just or justice is just what you want it to be. Any lawyers here today? Don't raise your hand. Because I'm wondering how this might play out in a court of law. In other words, in a world where there is no God, just chemistry, biology, and physics, then the moment that we reach outside of our biology to hold some other biology accountable to some invisible thing that we can't even put in a box, value, then we have appealed to what? Justice. But there's no such thing. It's just an illusion. Is anybody else confused yet? So that basically means this. When you subtract God and you live in a world that is governed by biology, chemistry, and physics only, then the sense of ought, like I ought, or ought not, I ought not, it all goes away. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. And I'm just finding this kind of almost like
unlivable. How is that even doable? Yeah, guys, don't try that today. If you're leaning towards that and your wife says something, no, doesn't matter. It's all determined. And what I think is right is right. You try it. You know what I'm saying? I'm giving you a little homework today. It's education class. Good luck. Andy and Nancy are open for counseling after the fact. I'm throwing that out there because maybe that will, you know, maybe make you think twice. I'm like, I want God. I want God on my side, okay? So if you're finding yourself or you know of somebody else that's thinking about stepping away this morning, I just think you got to know that's one of the things you're stepping towards. Now, those are the new tenets of atheism that we're kind of presenting in the 21st century that you've maybe never heard before. So now let me share with you the older ones that just refresh your memory. Some of you may know these. Some of you are like, I didn't even know what these were, but I'll share them with you so you need to understand, okay? Or try to understand today, because I've tried to understand as I've prepared for this. But here's number four. Something came from no thing. Don't laugh. Seriously, I'm not, because this is one of the tenets of atheism. Something came from no thing, which basically means something came from nothing. All right? Now, let me try and break that down for you, once again, from an atheistic point of view. When the Big Bang happened, and it is worth noting, you need to know this, we don't know when that happened. Nobody knows, and nobody has yet to prove that that happened, okay? When the Big Bang happened, then suddenly there was time, matter, and space. And with that, like immediately came the laws of nature and the laws of physics to govern it all. Which, by the way, nobody knows when it happened. Okay, Richard Dawkins actually said this, which to me is just like, if you're leaning towards atheism, this is kind of scary to me, if you are. Richard Dawkins said this, cosmology is still waiting for its Darwin. So it's kind of like, this is where it all happened. But we can explain all this, but we can't explain this. Do you find that unsettling? Do you find that unsettling? There's some logic to somewhat of they say. There's no doubt. I'm not going to argue that. There are some logical conclusions that they have drawn. It's like, hey, you know, yeah, maybe, right? It removes the element of faith, but that's what science does. It tries to prove a fact. But this is apparently a fact that has yet to be proven, which to me is a bit unsettling if it's true. Because it means everything that an atheist believes can't or hasn't been proven. Meaning we're still waiting for anybody to come up with a theory as to why anything and everything exists to begin with. So if you are considering walking away from God, or you know somebody that is, you're stepping away from him, just so you know, that's what you're stepping towards. That theory as to what nobody has proven, why it even exists. Here's the fifth one, ready? First life emerged from no life with no help. Okay, Francis Collins said it really a brilliant way. He's an atheist as well. But he said this, life came from lifeless matter and evolved into the digital elegance that we know as DNA. Okay, so I'm not being humorous. This evolved into this. But this didn't even exist back then because it was just like a rock. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? So from an atheistic point of view, somebody that might be considered an atheism, you believe that first life came from no life at all,
Which, let me remind you, if you're thinking that way, no one can explain it all. Nobody can explain. And no one can explain when it all even got to that point at all. And here's just, guys, I'm sorry. I'm so simple-minded. I do not claim to be intelligent. But for me, if that is true, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. If that is true, I find that a little unsettling. I just do. And if you or someone you know is stepping away from that, you're stepping towards something else, and that something else is that life came from no life and no one can explain when or how. Here's number six. This is the last one. Natural selection is responsible for all life after first life, which means that natural selection is solely responsible for every single human life from the beginning of time, which we don't know when that time happened, to every shape, size, variety, ethnicity, everything, those that are existing, people, life groups today, to non-existing life groups from the beginning of time till now, which no one knows when and how that happened. The simplest, this is natural selection in a nutshell. The most simplest form of life has now become responsible for the most complex form of life that now exists today. That's natural selection. I'll only speak for myself again today. I just find that really, really, really unsettling if it's true. And you can call me ignorant today if you want. You can. Because all I got to my credit is I've just studied theology all my life, not biology. Right? So I've kind of leaned towards this side. There's no doubt about that. But I'm trying to be fair today. I just am finding so far this type of belief system in its entirety is very, very, very difficult at best and almost unlivable. Almost unlivable. And I just believe that this is something that you really, really, really need to consider if you're stepping away and you're stepping towards. And you need to be aware as to what you are stepping towards. And listen, I this is of my opinion once again. And you're like, boy, you've been stating your opinion an awful lot today. Well, I got the mic, okay? And I started this church thing. So listen. I just think that this kind of a conversation, right? Now, some of you are like, there's no conversation because you didn't let me say anything back. All right, that's cool. Send an email once again, matt@churchofcelebration.com. Listen, I just think this. I think this kind of conversation needs to be had more often in the church. Because you're having this conversation. Your kids are having this conversation. They're studying this in school. And you're irate and you're known as that parent that's like, let's get it out of the school system. I'm pulling my kids out. We're going to homeschool. All this stuff. Listen, how can you be in the world and not of the world? Prepare your kids. Talk to them about this. Let them intelligently and logically conclude for themselves. This is not hard to have a conversation about. It also helps them understand what both sides are. Now, again, listen, today is, the setup of the conversation of what you might be stepping towards, all right? And we'll get to the point of what you're stepping away from. Next week, we're going to talk to you about, why many people are doing it. And then the next week, we are as well, a little bit more. I got 45 minutes. I just got 45 minutes to give you what I got. And that's what I'm trying to do the best that I can today. So if you're stepping away from something, then you need to know today you are stepping towards something else. And if you are stepping away from the belief in God, right? Because I'm now deducing religion and Christianity because religion, all religions have a God or gods, all that. If you're stepping away from God, then this is literally like the only alternative that's out there that you're stepping towards, that there is no God. And this is what you are leaning towards believing. So what do we do with all this today? If you're here today and you're losing or have lost faith in God, or you know somebody who is losing or has lost faith in God, here's my reasonable conclusion for you. I personally think it has nothing at all to do with what we've been talking about the last 30 minutes. I don't. Let's be real just for a second, okay? It's not like once you had this extraordinary amount of faith and someone put a book in your hands and you read it, you're like, huh, I doubt everything that I ever believed for the last 25 years. It's not that. I don't think that most people that are walking away from God, that their struggle with God today has virtually anything to do with atheism. I don't. Matter of fact, as we were processing the tenets of atheism, and some of you are like kind of doubting God, you're probably saying to yourself, I don't believe that. That is not what I am thinking. You've been saying that to yourself. If we're really, really, really being honest today, the reason you might be struggling with God or somebody you know is struggling with God, it's far more personal than what we've been talking about today. It's because of this. I believe that your version of God has lost its original appeal. You've lost or you are losing your faith in God. And if that's you today or somebody that you may know, I'm going to do my best the remaining weeks with the Holy Spirit, a lot of the Holy Spirit's help, to try to maybe lean you towards or convincing you that the God that you're losing faith in or you have quit believing in, listen, never existed to begin with. Get this. The God that you originally believed in was the wrong God, little g, to begin with. That's what we're going to talk about next week. The gods that we've all grown up with and the God that you may believe with. And trust me, I'm just saying this out loud right now. Trust me, the gods that all of us have grown up with, walk away from them. Or the God that you were presented with, and you'll hear it next week. I'm serious. I'm all for you walking away from that God. But I just kind of want to relate and gain a little leverage with you and talk to you. And today I just kind of wanted to talk about this subject just a tad bit to shine a little bit more light on really the only alternative that you have if you keep stepping away from God. So come back next week, okay? Because we're going to talk about the gods of the New Testament. All right? We're going to talk about the gods of the New Testament. And we're going to have a fun discussion next week. So let's all stand, all right? And let's pray. So we're like, that's it? That's all you got? Hey, listen, I wrote like a 6-hour message for this whole series. But this is like, I'm not asking for your applause. I'm just saying, but thank you. I appreciate it. I wrote like a 6-hour message. And like for this particular series, I write it for every series, like a 6-hour message. And nobody wants to listen to a 6-hour message, right? Okay, you didn't. All right, I didn't think so. That's why we sliced it and diced it up to like 45 minutes. So that's why there was little Bible today, probably no Bible next week, and little Bible the following week. And this is why, because those first 3 weeks are like the introduction to the 6-hour message, okay? Does that make sense? So just bear with me on that and just keep coming back because there's going to be more. So I just wanted to whet the appetite and intrigue you a little bit and make you aware of something that you might be stepping towards and fully aware of what that is, okay? So come back. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for today. Thanks for this incredible group of people that are here worshiping with us today. God, this is, you know, Lord, more than anything else, the people that have come to my mind in preparation of this series is our younger generation. Oh, that's what's bothered me the most. Most of us that are a little more seasoned, they didn't teach this stuff in school. Now it's a requirement. And
This is what our world is teaching them. And it's completely, completely, completely unfolding exactly how Satan has it planned. He still goes after all generations, but man, at the top of his list is the youngest generation today. Because with every generation, he gains more and more and more ground. And eventually, if this all unfolds how we read, it unfolds, you know, he's going to have an entire generation. So let's prolong that. Let's screw with Satan a little bit. Let's prolong it a little bit longer. And let's continue to do what we've been called to do here on this earth, Lord, and make your name more famous. We love you. Come back next week. God bless you.